7 o'clock, 97.5 The Fanatic, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. Devon Givens with you, 610-632-0975. We have a couple open phone lines that dropped off during a commercial break. 25 minutes commercial free upcoming, so if you want to check in, feel free, 610-632-0975. Lou, before we get to you, let me, Tyler's going to give us this poll on 97.5 The Fanatic. I'll let the people know where they can vote, what the question is, the options, and Ty, good evening.
What's up, Devon? Yeah, how are you?
Should say good evening on the Jim
Jackson. You know what? That's okay.
You know.
We got to get to the breaking news. That's all.
Right, yeah.
But this is a fill in the blank type poll for you today. Question is, after two games, the Philadelphia 76ers are a blank team. You fill it in. Either your options are either great, good, average, or bad. And right now we have just about over 400 votes. 60%, almost 61% of the people say they're an average team. 20.5% say they are a bad team. 17% say they're a good team. Less than 2% say they're a great team.
Yeah, so the bad part, bad team thing there is two games that we've seen, and of course the frustration that comes along with the two games. But they're not a bad team.
No, they're not a bad team. They just haven't looked good.
And that's the more recency bias where it's that 25%. Yeah, they're an average team right now. They are. They're not a bad team. They're an average team. They are. And they've looked that way in certain spots, especially falling to the Pacers and giving up 132 last night to the San Antonio Spurs, 42 in the fourth quarter, 43 in the fourth quarter. It's just unacceptable. Just flat out. Unacceptable. 610-632-0975. And Stan Van Gundy. Lou, I want you to hear this, and C-Notes and Nate and everybody. Listen to Stan Van Gundy on the full 48. He's talking about Ben Simmons. As, you know, just to kind of go along with the last part of our segment was where we had the conversation about Simmons and what he does in the league. Stan Van Gundy is not the end-all, be-all. He's not the greatest head coach. He's never won a championship, but he's gotten to one. He was a part of helping to build one with that Miami Heat team with Dwayne Wade and Shaquille O'Neal before I thought he was wrongly replaced and Eric Spoelstra eventually taken over. Turned out to be a great coach. But he knows what he's talking about. And so you don't have to agree with him, but at least listen to him and see, listen to what he has to say. Because I disagree with some of the things that he says. But at least he breaks it down and gives a good reason why he's saying what he's saying. Here's Van Gundy on the full 48 speaking about Ben Simmons.
It drives me crazy, quite honestly, when people focus so much on, they take a great player and they focus so much on one thing they don't do well instead of the myriad of things that they do very well. Like, to me, Ben Simmons is a great player already. It's more about having shooting around him. I don't know at this point why you would want Ben Simmons shooting threes. It's a very, very low percentage shot for him at this point. I think he's smart enough to know that, and that's why he doesn't take it. He's at his best attacking. They've got other guys that shoot the three better. I don't know why people are fixated on that. But look, I've had a lot of big guys, and it's been the same thing. For some reason, shooting is the thing with people. Like, if guys struggle shooting, fans at least, they don't care what else a guy can do. They want to see him shoot the ball. I mean, do you really want to watch Ben Simmons go 0 for 7 from 3 every night? Somehow right. Think that's going to help the team? You know what I would like Ben Simmons to do better? I love everything about him. To me, the must is he's got to shoot free throws better, because I think what I saw last year in the playoffs is when it got late in close games, Ben Simmons didn't want to attack the basket because he didn't want to end up at the free throw line. Everything else is great. Would I like him to improve his shooting as time goes on? Of course. But you don't bring into games what you can't do, especially this time of year. You bring into games your greatness, the things you are the best at. Ben Simmons, I think, knows that. As good as he is, I think Ben Simmons is maybe the most underrated player in this league. I think the guy is absolutely terrific. He brings great energy every night. He's the only guy in the league that can legitimately guard positions 1 through 5. Mm-hmm. He is totally unselfish. He is unbelievable in transition with the ball. He is a great passer. He can score around the basket. Let's focus on those things and try to make free throws better, Ben. and let's go to work.
All right, Stan Van Gundy on the 448 with Howard Beck, the podcast. Speaking there in that particular audio that we gave to you about all the things that Ben Simmons does well. All of the things that Ben Simmons does well. So whether you like him or not, Simmons, you can at least look at the things that he does and say, okay, he does that well. You may not think he's a great defender, but you can at least say he's a very good defender. We know the shooting part. How many times when we come into a season, we see the videos in the offseason. He's had three off seasons that we've seen. Even now this one where he was shooting with Chris Johnson when they were in L.A. during the hiatus. And I always say, after a certain amount of games, I'm not paying attention to the outside shooting because he's already shown me that he's not going to do it. So I'm not going to drive myself crazy. Let me focus on the other things. What he can control, free throw shooting. What he can control, finishing at the rim stronger. What he can control is not turning the ball over, being heady, more heady in certain spots. And of course, the superior defensive play that he has out there. I didn't agree with everything that Stan Van Gundy said because he should shoot the ball at some point. I don't want him going 0 for 7 from deep either. I don't mind 0 for 3 because he's taking me, making him honest. I don't mind that. I don't mind what Van Gundy said, but at least he had something to back it all up as to why Simmons is good, really good. He said, and, you know, that he felt Simmons is the best defensive player in the league this year. Yeah, that's what he said. He thought he should get the Defensive Player of the Year award. He says that he feels like, again, he can guard 1 through 5. We've all said that and seen that. So, look, he may not be the best player out there. He may not even be the best player on your team. That goes to Joel Embiid. But he is a darn good player who right now in 2 games has not performed well. Step it up. Step it up. All right, Lou, thanks for hanging on. My apologies. You're next on the Fanatic. How you doing, Lou?
I'm doing good, Devon.
Great. Great to hear.
The thing, we got no power out here in Mount Laurel.
Oh, man.
Nope, but I'm going to shout out to my man Jeff holding us through at Gaetano's in Mount Laurel, you know, keeping the business going and keeping us eating good out here.
Yeah, be safe, man, no doubt.
Yeah. Anyway, Devon, let me reiterate on that point right there. Okay, Stan Gundy is saying all that about Ben Simmons, and I'm not taking nothing away that he's a triple-double, you know, some nights. But let's go with the real facts here, okay? He has to get a shot because if he gets a shot, it opens up everything. Now your defense got to defend more and worry about him.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll cause other people to get free.
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely, Lou. I understand what you're saying 100%. But let me counter this. And I'm not using this as an excuse. I'm using this as, for me, this is how I look at it. And again, it's just logic for me. If he's not going to do it, I'm not going to drive myself crazy because that's just going to give me something else to be worked up about that he's not going to do. So I will evaluate the other things that he's doing on the floor. Now, if he passes up a shot, Lou, and it's a terrible possession because he didn't shoot, then sure. Yes, but if he's just wide open and doesn't shoot, I'm not going to lose my mind over that anymore because he's not going to shoot. I'm not going to start pulling my hair out for that.
And you're right, Devon, because I don't want him to put the team in a worser position than what they're at because he's trying to shoot threes that he really ain't, you know, haven't really been into that, you know. So I don't want to see that either. But I know one thing, the Sixers got to have a shooting guard. That's one thing I know. And Brett Brown, I gave him a lot of leeway, right? But now I'm at the point where does he still need to be the head coach? You understand what I'm saying? Because the defense is lacking. I've seen more defense when Monty Davis was there. I mean, Monty Williams that went over to Phoenix, right?
Mm-hmm.
But now I don't see it no more. What happened? It's like we're a matador, you know, a matador with a bull. You run through the cape, and then you just come back and run through the cape again and score at ease. This is pathetic, giving up 89 points in two, you know, second halves, right? Fourth quarter. Am I saying fourth quarter?
Fourth quarter, 89 points in the fourth quarter in these games.
Devon, this is crazy. You know it, and I know it. So what are them other little escort people doing there that are assistant coaches? Somebody has to be a defensive-minded coach behind the head coach.
Well, they do have a defensive-minded coach. Emi Udoka is the defensive coach for this basketball team. Lou, thanks so much, man. Again, be safe out there. Hope you guys get that power back soon, and you guys are all straight. But I said it at the top when we first started. Defensively, that was my number one thing going into this postseason and starting things off with the seeding games inside the bubble. And they simply have not played good enough defense. Giving up the amount of points that they've given up is unacceptable. Flat out unacceptable. Indiana is a good basketball team. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not taking that away from them. San Antonio Spurs come on a two-game streak with fighting for a playoff spot where they were one of the teams that were let in last because, of course, they just want the TV money and they want to make sure that they have that TV money paid for the local networks and all. And they come in and they win two, and they're like, hey, hang on. Anything can happen now. We're only two games back in the Memphis Grizzlies. You see what happened now. If you haven't heard, Jaren Jackson Jr. has a torn meniscus, and he is out. So anything can happen. And that's why Tyler, you know, all kidding aside, is talking about the Phoenix Suns now being 3-0 and only three games back of that eighth spot currently. Because anything can happen. And the 76ers need to turn their defense up. If they want to preach, we were built for the playoffs. It starts, as they always say, with the defense. Their defense has been embarrassing right now. It has been embarrassing. From Simmons to Korkmaz coming in the game, how Neto in the game being run by, right? Josh Richardson, yesterday he was better than he was on Saturday defensively. They have to be better overall.
As a team. It's not, to me, it's not, I don't even think that you can go, yeah, Richardson was, you know, looked bad this game. Neto was bad this game and this game, this part. And that, you know, you can't like, I feel like you can't even pick something out, even though you can look at a defensive series and look at the first game and go, yeah, Shake Milton was bad in this spot and this spot. And you can do all those things. But in reality, I look at this team as a whole and say they've been not good enough defensively as a unit. Mm-hmm. You know, starters, bench, it doesn't matter. It's just been all bad.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, what is it, 89 points in 89. The fourth quarter?
Yes.
46 against the Pacers, 43 against the Spurs. You're gonna end up finding yourself getting run out of a gym because I look at those two teams and they're good. You know, they're both good. But I don't think either of them are unbelievably stout defensively. What happens when you run into the Raptors and you let them score 43 on you? You're going to lose the fourth quarter by 25 points.
Yeah, and your starters will be sitting on the bench because there's no reason for them to be out there at that point.
Yep.
Yep, absolutely. 610-632-0975. That's Tyler Zuli. I'm Devon Givens with you until 10. Bubble Watch, 8:30. We're talking Sixers and what we saw last night. Kind of revisiting what we saw on Saturday, combining them both into two bad performances despite a win over the Spurs. A big shot by Shake Milton with 6.1 seconds remaining. He had 16, bouncing back again very nicely from the zero that he had in game number one. But it just doesn't feel right. I have no idea who this basketball team is. I really don't, guys. C-Note's next on the Fanatic. C-Note.
Hey, DG, what's up?
What's going on, man?
Just here chilling. Yeah, I wanted to talk about Brett Brown and his coaching. I don't know, man. He's a suspect, man. It's like one minute it looks like he knows what he's doing. The next minute, it's like the game plan went away.
Yeah, what I struggle with, C-Notes, is the substitutions and when he decides he wants to take his starters out. Sure. Why are you putting Raul Neto? I understand that he's more of a traditional point guard than Alec Burks. But if Burks is not a negative for your basketball team, why is he not giving you an opportunity? And he, listen, he didn't have any turnovers last night in the game. He came in, he only had 3 points and 9-57, so he wasn't erratic. He wasn't throwing the ball all over the place. He wasn't forcing up bad shots. And defensively, that's not his forte. But if you need points, we know it is proven in this league during his career that he can at least get you a look. And I know how Neto had two layups, and they were nice layups. But that's not enough for me to feel like he should be on the floor over Alec Burks. Taking Embiid and Harris out was, again, something that was unacceptable with 8:38 left in the fourth quarter. You're up 10. There is no timeout, right? C-Notes, there's no timeout.
Yeah,
you just took him out because that's normally your what you do, and Embiid was a little gas. Then you call timeout. Right? I know Indiana's going to be able to set whatever they're going to set up, some inbound play and ATO, and it might work. Nate McMillan is good at that, and TJ Warren is on fire. Well, you draw up a better defender to stop it. I mean, defense to stop it. Not take your two guys who are playing very well out and allow them to then go on a run. Brown has, in these instances, has made me scratch my head a few times, man, and I just don't understand it.
I don't know his his infatuation with players that I'll be like, Raul, I agree with you. Raul Neto should not be playing. Yeah, I don't know. He should not be there.
He should not.
All I seen was turnovers from him. I mean, I know that Sixers, we always turn the ball over because we ain't going to have a perfect game, but that guy was, as soon as he do two turnovers, I'm the coach. Yo, sit down. Come on.
Yeah, he had two turnovers. The one, he got plucked. DeJounte Murray didn't even let him get past the 3-point. He didn't get past the hash marks. And he plucked him, went for a quick dunk. And C-Notes, I looked at that. I was like, get him out of the game now.
But despite all that, I got them winning the NBA championship.
Wow.
Despite all this. Cause,
wow.
You know, something's going to happen that, you know, it's going to be like, wow.
Something's going to turn around for them, and this is going to be wow. Okay.
Yeah,
I hope to see that.
I just hope they don't, you know, that they, since they feed off the crowd when they're at home, I hope that's not what's messing with their mind right now. You know what I mean?
It better not be, because it'll be a quick exit for them if that's the case, C-Notes. Thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it. Those virtual fans that are in there, if that's not enough for you, first of all, don't even pay attention to that. It's great that everybody's having an opportunity to be engaged in the game. I love it that the NBA, that the Sixers are allowing this to happen. It is great. The virtual experience with the fans, love it. You're right there. You're in the game. People get to see you. I saw a guy eating some oodles and noodles last night. It was great. Loved it.
Did you catch Franklin hanging around in there, by the way?
I didn't see my man.
Yeah, he posted a video.
My dog. I didn't see
He was hiding.
I did not see that. Did not see that.
Yeah, but he was in the stand. He did it like a slow-mo when they did a pan shot of everybody. His head just pops up.
Yeah, it's a shame that, of course, the mascots can't be. I mean, what would they be doing? It's not like Citizens Bank Park where the Fanatic can be running around all around that building. I don't know what they would be doing in this case. A distraction, maybe? Yeah, but still. 610-632-0975. As far as Brett Brown, coming to Nate in a second. Jamie Fretz on Twitter asks Tyler, can you answer on air if you think Brett will be gone? Jamie, I think if they are knocked out in the first and or second round, he will be gone. The only thing that I think saves him, Jamie, is number one, all of this comes together, the pandemic and when season 2021 campaign starts. If it is in March, like we saw some reports that it could potentially be in March, if there's a vaccine that's on the horizon and the NBA's doctors and people that they speak to let them know that something will be on the horizon, then, you know, he might be gone, because that gives whoever they bring in next more time to implement their system and get things ready for the start of the season, figure things out, transactions, speak with Elton Brand, all of that stuff. Other than that, I think Brown will be out if they are ousted in the first or second round, because Elton Brand might be on the hot seat as well. he's going to, every GM is going to make sure they save themselves at that point. Go get his coach, see if his coach can fix whatever the problem is, was, and now your job is saved. 610-632-0975. So Jamie, I hope that answers your question. I think if Brown and the Sixers are knocked out in the first or second round, he's out. Nate in Delaware. What's up, Nate?
Hey. Roman Catholic, 1981.
What's up, Nate?
You know, I got to announce my school for all the rest of the schools around, like Newman Goretti and all them can understand. But I love your show. I love your show. And I love this point again, is that you ever go to school, right, and you had to learn algebra, right?
Yes.
But you couldn't get your geometry until you got algebra.
Uh-huh.
And then when you got geometry, you went to calculus and you went to trigonometry. That's how I was at Roman Catholic when I came up. And I look at Brett Brown, and I look at him as being under a man who I got to give respect to, Mr. Jerry Sloan and Popovich, because the way they taught their coaching styles, but their players were receptive. When I look at the Sixers under our coach right now, it's nothing personal against Brown, but he wants to be a buddy-buddy friend and to kind of be nice. Really, he should be like a Popovich or as Jerry Sloan and pull the two superstars together and say, guess what? With 8 minutes left in the game, you two guys going to be where I'm riding both of y'all. What should we be doing? Mm-hmm. And give me some insight. Right now, I look at two different teams on the Sixer. I look at when Embiid's in there, he's killing it. Then it's like you put my point guard, I love him, Ben Simmons, and it's like you got him floating around. You need to bring those two together for solid reasons, but he has not demonstrated at one time. I've never heard him say, and tell me if I'm wrong, Devon, I've sat down my two superstars and say, we're going to do this together. It's always been individualized. Well, Ben did this, and Ben didn't do this. And
well,
Ben
actually, Nate, I've heard Brown say we, you know, together, all that. He okay. says that stuff a lot. Yeah, he does. I give him
okay.
that. Yep.
Okay. I may be wrong, but the way I watch the game, Javon, is like two separate teams. And it's like I don't see like you didn't see Magic and Kareem, for example, have no doubt at all that one's going to be sitting and one's going. They knew at crunch time they both was going Worthy. Knew he was going in. You know what I mean? We don't have that. Right? If we can have a strange person like a Neto come in, you'd be like, hold on for a minute. Leave it like it was. And that's why I would have to say I like personality-wise, and a lot of people in Philadelphia fans are so smart, they've said this about our coach. But he's not the one to mesh this together.
Well, and oftentimes, thanks for the call, Nate. Appreciate it. Always good to hear from you. Oftentimes people say he's the one that set it up, and now you have to bring someone else in to close it out. 610-632-0975. We'll hear from more of Van Gundy. He has some other things to say. Aaron and Mason and some open phone lines for the first time since we've gotten underway at 6 o'clock. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens with you until 10 on The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic
610-632-0975. Tyler Zulli's producing the show. We are with you until 10, talking a lot of Sixers coming off of their win last night, which to me did not feel like a win, even though in the win column it shows. It was just ugly. Just ugly, and I did not like it. 610-632-0975. We're hard on this team, as we should be. They should be better. They should be better.
We have every right to be hard on this team.
Why?
Because expectations have not been met.
were they fair expectations?
Yeah, I think so.
I agree.
You have a max player. You have two max players. Ben Simmons gonna be up there. And you, not only that, but we continually harken back to this, but it's true. You put us through misery for five seasons because you told us the end product was going to be worth it. And so far, it hasn't lived up to that expectation.
It has not. It has not lived up to the expectation. It's disappointing. Disappointing. I know that they have six games remaining. I know that they have the postseason. But it could be a quick visit into that bubble.
Well, and you think about it. If they were to have said, at the end of this, we're going to have a good team, we would have all been like, whoa, 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 whoa. We're not doing this for a good team. We're not going to go down there and watch, you know, slop for 5 years and watch it go 9-72 or 9-73 or whatever it was, and then get a good team out of this.
What were they, 10-72?
And there was something like that.
Yeah, 9 is the record all time.
Right.
They had 10.
And so, to me, the heightened expectations are justified and haven't been met because you haven't gotten out of the second round with this team. There's time. Of course there's time. But I think a lot of people's patience is either very thin or is already run.
Yeah, because of things we've already seen.
Yes.
Yeah, you're just not making it up. It's what we've seen. 610-632-0975. Aaron in Drexel Hill next with us on The Fanatic. Aaron.
What's up, Devon? What's going on, fellas? Y'all actually caught me in the market. Normally, I can make it out the market before y'all get back.
You want to wait?
No, I can do it right now. I'll beat them pretty soon. First and foremost, I need Ben back at the point. And what people don't understand is a point guard's job is to set the pace of the team, set the style of play. And right now, we have no pace. We have no style of play, which is why we're not getting any fast breaks anytime when we're playing. You know, I think we had, like, what, 3 fast breaks all of last night. And then that first game is ending in, and we didn't have many at all. The offense completely looks lost. Ben looks lost. He looks like, and it's sad because he looks like exactly like he did last year when you put the ball in Jimmy Butler's hand. And you just told Ben, stand in the corner. And if the ball comes your way, try to make something happen. If it doesn't, oh, well, you know? And it's just getting ridiculous. And we're in our star player, Joel Embiid, is playing too hard for us to barely be squeaking out wins at the end of the day. Our defense has to step up, point blank and period.
No, that's it. They definitely have to step up because, as I've been saying, defense is the most important thing for this team. They've been telling us as well, Aaron, all of this time that the defense is what's going to drive them to victories and a deep run in the playoffs. And so far, through two, we have not seen that defense that they've been talking about.
And honestly, and that should have been our MO from the beginning of the season. But Brett has, you know, I was talking to a friend of mine, and I'm going to be done after this. We have changed our style of play ever since Brett has been here. In the beginning, we were supposed to be young and athletic, long and athletic players. And then we went from that, we wanted to be face and face. And then we wanted to play bully ball. Also, he doesn't know what he wants to create in his team. He has so many different thoughts in his mind. And we never center on one thing. And I think that's hurting us right now. And I see us, I used to see us being able to make the finals. I see us, if we make it to the second round, we're getting bounced off the second round. And I will be happy because then he'll be gone.
Mm. Yeah, man. I mean, let's hope they get it together. Six game tomorrow, it has to start there. Pick up with the morale from that win last night. Go into the game tomorrow against Washington, a team that you are definitely better than. And stomp them and get yourselves ready for that next game thereafter. I can't even think off the top of my head who the other game is, the fourth game. I have it right here. Orlando. And they lost Jonathan Isaac. So, again, another opportunity for you, even though they're playing hard, another opportunity for them to pick up two wins here on the upcoming schedule.
And the last thing I just want to say, Devon, what is Brett's deal with not playing players who can actually play? Like, why won't he give Burke the time? I mean, not Burke. Why won't he give Burke the time? Why won't he give Matisse the real time? Like, what is up with the Nettos and the first times with this guy? I mean, it's been his MO since he's been here. He will give guys that everybody knows shouldn't be on the court more time than guys that should be on the court. I don't understand.
That is true, man. Listen, thanks for the call, Aaron. Be safe. The Korkmaz thing, clearly for me, I understand that. That's the shooting. part of when you're a shooter, you know how it is. Shooters shoot. You keep shooting. Even if it's not right, shooters shoot. You keep shooting. Furkan Korkmaz can stretch the floor. He has to make his shots. Raul Neto, pure point guard. While you do need an extra ball handler because the Josh Richardson ball handling experiment sometimes doesn't really do much. He brings it up, throws it around. All right, it's whatever it is. There's not much to it. And if he's not hitting his shots, it's, again, it's nothing. I was talking to Brian on Twitter quickly. Brian said neither Burks nor Neto should sniff the floor. And my answer was simply, but if I had to choose, I go Burks over Neto because of the scoring. Will he be feistier on defense? Yes. Are we talking about defense being the main thing? Absolutely. They have enough defenders out there where sometimes I don't think he's going to come in and change the game 94 feet defending from end to end. Where Burks can come in and light you up offensively, he can get scored on too, but light you up offensively by going on his own run where he can give you a quick seven, forcing the other team to call a timeout. That's just my opinion. 610-632-0975. How do you feel about the 76ers? What's wrong? And who are they at this point? We'll get the Twitter poll again from Tyler soon. Who are they? Because I have no idea after these two games. I said it earlier and I'll say it again. I felt better about them after the two scrimmages. That's where I felt better about them. 610-632-0975. Before we get to Ben, because he wants to talk about Van Gundy. Van Gundy had another one, Ben, where he was talking about Simmons. We played that one. He also talked about the team, as we're talking about the defense, he's also talking about their team defense here in this particular audio with Howard Beck on the 448.
I think the number one thing for the Sixers, and Brett Brown talked about this way back before the season started, I think he's absolutely right. The way the Sixers are built, first and foremost, they need to be an elite defensive team. I mean, the one thing that they have that nobody else in the league can claim is that their two best players are legitimate first team All-NBA defense type of guys. I mean, nobody can say that about their top two players, you know, but they can. I personally would have Ben Simmons as my defensive player of the year. And Embiid, when he's at his best, is the best defensive big man in the league, I think. And so I think, number one, they have to be elite at that end. At home, they were. On the road, they weren't. Defense should travel. I mean, that's always been the axiom. Defense will travel. It didn't travel for them. And so I don't understand that. To me, they can't just be good. They need to be elite defensively.
And it needed to travel to the bubble. So far in two games, it has not shown inside that bubble. 610-632-0975. Again, Stan Van Gundy on the 448 with Howard Beck, the podcast. And he talked for a while. You can see he can go long-winded. Tyler cut that stuff up, and we were just like, Todd, just keep that in there because there's no point in making extra cuts. Just let that play for a minute and some change because the man is rolling. 610-632-0975. Ben in Philly. What's up, Ben? What do you think of what Van Gundy had to say?
Look, I agree with what Jeff Van Gundy had to say.
That was actually Stan.
Yeah, but listen, still our problem really is coach. I'm gonna tell you. Look, if you losing, we down, and you got Embiid our
hey,
center.
Can you do me a favor, Ben? The echo in the back from the audio. Can you turn that down?
Okay, it's down.
Yeah, thanks.
All right, our center comes down, and we lose him. And he comes down, nobody around the basket, and he launches a three. All right? The coach can say, wait, hold up, or you know, say something to him about that. You know, you just don't come down and just lost no three-pointers when nobody's under the basket, and you're losing. Now, I understand Embiid can shoot a little bit, but still, we're playing team ball.
Yeah.
Team ball. So, you know, and then when another team go on a run, the way to slow them down is you slow your team down, you come down, and we make sure we get a good shot on the basket. You just don't come down and just start launching, you know, launching threes.
No, I agree with that. He needs to be more selective, but sometimes what they do also, Ben, in that trail position when he does come down, they'll allow him to fire up that three because the defender is so far back off of him. And as you said, he's at least a decent shooter. Well, I don't mind him hoisting up a three-pointer if it's in a good spot. It does have to be in a good spot, though. I agree with you.
Yeah, but now understand this. If you're coming down, if you're losing.
Yes.
And we know down low, it ain't too many people in the league that really can mess with Embiid down low.
No.
So why does he got to stay outside waving his hand up waiting for the ball? Set up a play, and you do two things with it. You slow the other team down, and you get a chance at a good shot. If they on a run, and which they was on a run.
Right.
You come down, you set up a play, you slow them down, and we have a chance at getting the bucket. And then you get back on defense.
Listen, I mean, good strategy, of course, and we understand when you have somebody as good as he is at 7'2", as big as he is physically, where he is flat out dominant, where no one can stop him one-on-one, they have to throw those double and sometimes triple teams at him. You're 100% correct with that. But I don't put anything on him these last two games simply because 41-21 speaks for himself. They should have won that game behind that performance. And last night, 27-9, he also played very well, shot very well, defended very well. And I just hope he continues to play at this all-NBA level going forward. Ben, thanks for the call, because that's what I was asking for. His all-NBA performance and Ben Simmons' all-star performance in this playoffs that's upcoming starting August 17th. Because we have not seen those two play very well together in their first two appearances in the playoffs in 18 and 19. 610-632-0975. Smokey on Twitter, Smokey58, Brian Blount 9. New coach, new GM. Brand should not be let off the hook. Bad contracts, gave up all draft capital. And pick Zaire Smith over future star who would have fit this team perfectly, Michael Porter Jr., shaking my head. Michael Porter Jr. coming out of Missouri, fantastic young player, thought he would go top five because of the skill set that he has, 6'11", can handle, can shoot, athletic, of course, can do all those things. The back issue, though, Brian, scared a lot of teams away, Sixers included. Did they have that luxury, Brian, as a Sixer fan, you evaluating them at that moment, to take a player with a bad back that other teams were also afraid of and needed that talent more than the Sixers probably did? Remember, the Sixers were a 10 pick in that draft in 18 because of the trades and stuff. Everyone else, they were not playoff teams, and they passed on them for players like, who I like, Wendell Carter. But could the Bulls use Michael Porter Jr. to go with Zach LaVine and Lauri Markkanen? Sure. Kevin Knox, New York. Do you think Michael Porter Jr. would work well there with what they do? Absolutely. Who else? DeAndre Ayton went one. And Luca,
Colin Sexton,
Cleveland. I'm sure even though they could use a point guard,
Mo Bamba went
Michael Porter Jr. and Michael Porter Jr. would have worked well with Orlando. So my point is,
how about this one?
Yes,
your boy Mikal.
Mikal went 10.
Goes 10.
Yeah.
Then the other Bridges, Miles goes 12.
Yeah.
Shea Gilgeous Alexander in between.
Yep. Oh, he went 11.
Yeah, Jerome Robinson went 13.
Yeah, of course, the Clippers had two picks. You think they could have gambled on... They had two picks.
You'd think.
One, Shea Gilgeous and Jerome Robinson. Take a chance. I'm telling you, Brian, the back scared a lot of people away. The Sixers had the luxury as a playoff team to make that move, yes. Yes, the Clippers had more because they had two selections. Denver had that luxury as well because they had so much talent, willing to take a chance, and they did. But really, as a Sixer fan, with the injuries to Okafor, Noel, Embiid, Simmons, and Fultz, would the Sixers have gotten a fair shake for taking a guy with a bad back? Tyler, can you answer that? Would they have gotten a fair shake taking a guy with a bad back?
I don't think they would have. Just because of the problems that like you just laid out that they've had over the last couple of seasons. They had to take something that was a known quantity.
And he was known had he been healthy, but he's right. Been there, so I understand where people are going because you love the scoring. You missed out on Jason Tatum.
Right.
This is another wing player that can flat out fill it up. You need that in your lineup. You take that guy. I get it. We talked about it. And not just because of, again, my biasness with Mikal being my cousin. I got it.
But it's not biased.
We talked about it and we said it at the time. Me, D, Jeff was there as well. Hey, you really need to look at Michael Porter Jr. here. Really? You really do?
Well, and the thing is,
both people would have fit, both Michael Porter Jr. and Mikal. The only difference was you knew Mikal was going to play in that moment, but then they blew that up anyway because they sent him to Phoenix and Zaire Smith is here. And Zaire Smith now, again, speaking of the long list of guys with that injury where he wouldn't have gotten a fair shake with the team, now he can't get on the floor.
Right, so you go back to it, and you say, you know, oh, it's biased because it's my cousin, my guy, whatever. It's really not. Because if you think about it, Porter Jr. was the unknown. The talent was there, but the back was the unknown. Now you look at Zaire, who's been an unknown since he's been here. And when you think about it, they needed a known commodity, like I just said. And I get that they get the pick, and the pick partially turns into Tobias Harris, and it all kind of sets everything in motion. But at the time, the known commodity with that pick was Mikal Bridges. Or it was Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and I know they weren't going to take him.
Could have gone there, too, but we talked about guards, right? And even though Markelle Fultz was here, they probably weren't going to do that. 610-632-0975. Rick on the cell. What's up, Rick?
Devon, I need your help, my man.
What's up, Rick? You sound down.
Well, you saw my tweets yesterday when we were going back and forth.
Yes, I did.
What the heck do we do? You get a guy playing Raul Neto. This is really simple. It's not difficult. You have a point guard that you decided in somehow 4 months of offseason, basically, is going to be your starting point guard. He's struggling. Well, guess what? You have a guy that's played his whole career there. How about you play Ben there? If you don't want to play Ben there and you want to leave him at the four, how about you play Josh there? Oh, wait, Josh played there a little bit in Miami. He played a little bit there last year. Okay, how about you get the guy you get basically for nothing in Alec Burks? Seems really, really difficult to me. I still haven't mentioned Neto yet. Why would I not mention him? Because he's the fifth guy that you should play at that position. It's so frustrating, Devon. They are the most talented starting five in the NBA, and they probably have the best big man coming off the bench in Horford if he's playing his right position. All right? This team, I'm watching Milwaukee. All right? Milwaukee's got two players. I don't care what anybody says. I watched them all year. I watched them last year. They got two players. Brook Lopez does not scare me. You know, Eric Bledsoe.
He's had a hell of a defensive year, though.
He did have a hell of a defensive year. But, I mean, look what Joe's doing in two games. He's showing you, I'm in shape. I'm ready to go.
I'm the best player out here.
This team.
Yep.
Right. So, Joe or Brook Lopez? I mean, honestly, Brook Lopez is going to have four fouls in the first half.
Absolutely.
Right. I mean, this is punching the Sixers right. I mean, this is like they have the Eastern Conference in their sights. I want to play Boston in the first round, but Boston doesn't have enough to beat the Sixers. The second best player on the Celtics. I guess you're going to go Kemba and Tatum, but if you want to say Jaylen Brown, does he scare you offensively?
He does not, but he's playing really well right now. And he has elevated his offensive game this season. They did well on him defensively all year long. You're at the games, right, Rick. We've talked.
Yep.
He played well for the most part all year. He should have been an all-star, just not enough spots, of course. And but they did defensively, they did very well against him. Right now in this bubble, he's playing really well.
He is. But the other thing, so you said they look like, in the first two games, they look like they should be the Magic. They should just be the eighth seed and lose in the first round.
Yes.
But in the preseason, the first games, their defense, if you watch the game closely, those three games they played.
The scrimmages?
The scrimmages.
Yeah, yeah.
That is NBA Finals defense. That was hard for the other teams to get shots off. I mean, in those games, it was literally hard for them to get shots off, which is what the playoffs are about.
Mm-hmm.
If they can do that, look at even Tobias. It's so frustrating, Devon. Honestly, real quick, I just wanted to tell you this. Every team in the league, or every team in Philly, I'm sorry, has a weakness. If you look at the coach with the Sixers, if you look at the GM with the Phillies and the lack of a bullpen, and then you have possible the GM and lack of certain positions for the football team. As much as this, never thought I'd say this, the Flyers don't have a weakness.
No, they
and
don't.
And it's because their coach has a big word that they talked about the other day, and that's accountability.
Yep, and that's what we talked about with Brown. Yeah, we talked about that with Brown a lot, man, and it might be too late for him. Rick, thanks for the call, man. Always good to interact with you. Love you back, man. We'll talk. 610-632-0975. Jay Derek Lance wants to talk about Michael Porter. We asked that question. Will the Sixers get a fair shake? Have they taken Michael Porter with that bad back? I don't think so. 610-632-0975. We'll keep it rolling on the other side right here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.